Welcome back. This is the extra episode I told y'all about. I'm feeling much better today, so I should be straight. You know what I'm saying? We're going to give y'all a recap of the games last night, and we're going to preview the weekend games, the Saturday games. So before we go into all that, I would like to ask you to leave a like, comment, subscribe. If you like the content on this show, as well as my other three shows, the other three shows on this network, excuse me. We have the main show. Well, actually, we now have four shows. So we have the main show featuring Joe, Tomo, and Dave. We have BWT, Baseball with Teddy, for all your baseball needs. Holla at Teddy. And we have Fantasy Football with Coach Coons, which just aired two and a half hours ago, something like that. And now we have a fourth show, the Joe Jordan Show, where he just gave a preview into the Bears and Commanders game. So Thursday night game tonight. If you like the NFL as well as much as I do, as well as college, check out Joe Jordan Show, and he gives you a preview of Thursday night football tonight. Yeah, so if you like the content of any of the shows on this network, please leave a like, comment, subscribe. Today, like I said, we'll go over the games last night. So let's get into that. So we have Jack State at Middle Tennessee State. Final score, Jack State 45, Middle Tennessee State 30. I picked Jack State to win this game. I called my shot, and boy, did Jack State come through. Didn't look like it at first, but we'll get into it. So Middle Tennessee State gets the ball first, and they go three and out. Chris Hardy had two great plays, including a sack. Shanked the punt, which gave Jack State great field position, but Logan Smothers throws a pick in the end zone on a sprint out, rollout pass right. He had the out route, got greedy, wanted to take the end zone shot, ran out of real estate, turned into a pick. Leads to a three and out punt, however, from Middle Tennessee State. With 43 seconds left in the first quarter, Middle Tennessee State then gets a 45-yard field goal set up by a bad Jack State punt. They tried to run a pooch punt. They faked like they were going to go for it. The quarterback, Logan Smothers, backs up, punts it, but it's not a good punt. You might as well have just went for it. I think the punt netted maybe 10 yards, if that. So they might as well just went for it. After the field goal with 11:21 left in the second quarter, Malik Jackson gets a one-yard touchdown run set up by Zion Webb, 61-yard run on a read option. And that play marked a quarterback change. Logan Smothers was then benched for Zion Webb for the rest of the game. I don't know if he was hurt. I didn't hear anything about being hurt. I think he just honestly was benched. So Middle Tennessee State answers with the 1 yard freak peasant touchdown run converted on a 4th and 2, 43 yard pass to DJ Riles. Now, before the 4th and 2 conversion, Larry Worth hits Middle Tennessee State's wide receiver to have him short on 3rd down. And man, prayers up to a guy. He had to get carted off on the stretcher. So prayers up to that guy. Hopefully everything is well. You hate to see it, but it comes with the sport of football, unfortunately. But it looked like that sparked Middle Tennessee State, because then they run the 4th and 2 play. They run like a little fake play action run and hit DJ Riles, which should have been a touchdown, but he got hawked. But it leads to the 1 yard Frank Peasant touchdown run. Then after that, Middle Tennessee State, when they get the ball again, hits a big play to Elijah Metcalf, who I think is the best receiver on his team. 71-yard touchdown. Elijah Metcalf hits the big play. Then Jack State turns it over on 4th and 6, turnover on downs. Zion Webb just gets sacked, a blitz from the left side. The defense's left side comes, just nothing Zion Webb can do about it. Turnover on downs leads to another Elijah Metcalf touchdown. Poor tackling on that play. Just a screen there. Made a guy miss, then made another two guys miss. Just poor tackling on his way to the end zone. After the Elijah Metcalf field goal, the point after was no good. And that was pretty much all we had in the first half. Now, Jack State in the second half made a complete 180. Jack State, the starts the second half, goes 3 and out with 0 yards gained. And I'm thinking, oh man, I picked the wrong team this week. Middle Tennessee State at home. I told y'all their record is better than they're better than what their record show. They came to play. They're playing for that fallen guy. But then Nick Vadiato throws an interception, which gives Jack State new life. Then questionable targeting on 3rd and 12. Very questionable, in my opinion. Trey Fowler gets a targeting call, gets ejected. And that was honestly the turning point of the game, in my opinion. You lose your best defender in Middle Tennessee State. He's now gone for the rest of the game. And that leads to a Jack State touchdown. I think Sean Brown scores the touchdown. You have a 10-yard Sean Brown touchdown catch. Jack State then punts the next drive, but for some reason, amongst a crowd of people, the Middle Tennessee State return man touches the ball. He tries to recover it. Jack State knocks him out the way, picks up the fumble, and that leads to a Jack State touchdown. That leads to a Jack State 1-yard Zion Webb quarterback sneak touchdown to put Jack State down 21-23. Then Jack State, when they get the ball back, gets a 43-yard field goal to go up one. Jack State then scores a 63-yard touchdown pass to Perry Carter. Just speed up the sideline. He was gone to go up 31-23. Then Middle Tennessee gets a big play down the field. But Jack State pressures Nick Radiato, which leads to a tip pick by Chris Hardy, who had a game. He catches a pick. He almost takes it for six, but he gets hawked. Leads to a 1-yard touchdown run by Juwan Evans on like a little Jets. I don't know if it's like it was an outside run for sure. On fourth and six in the red zone, Middle Tennessee State turnover on downs. Radiato is sacked after a bad snap, which leads to a Jack State punt. Jack State scoop and score after the punt. Then Terry Wilkins answers with a 75-yard touchdown run, which leads to the final score of 45-30. Now Jack State 38 unanswered points in the second half. He raised a 23-7 deficit in the third quarter alone. Trey Flewellen, like I said, the targeting call was huge. Knocked him out of the game. Jack State had 8 sacks. Chris Hardy had 2 sacks, 4.5 tackles for loss, and an interception. Middle Tennessee State lost the turnover battle 4-1 with 2 Vadiato interceptions. I said it, man. Vadiato and them cannot afford to do that against Western Kentucky. Trey Flewellen caught a pick. He actually dropped the pick in this game against Jack State, but he caught a pick against Western Kentucky, and Vadiato threw 2 picks right back. So Jack State wins the game 45-30, 5-1 on the year, looking really good. Sucks they are not bowl eligible because of the whole transfer, not transfer, but moving up rule. They can't go unless there's not enough teams that's bowl eligible, but Jack State definitely deserves to be in a bowl. Sucks they can't be in one. Now, for the second game of last night, we had FIU at New Mexico State. I had New Mexico State winning, and then the final score was FIU 17, New Mexico State 34. FIU gets the ball first and goes 3-and-out, punt. New Mexico State goes down the field and score an 11-yard touchdown pass to Chris Bellamy, and they converted a 4th-and-1 on a Diego Pavea run. FIU answers with a 6-yard Keon Jenkins touchdown run. FIU, 4th-and-1, touch push is failed, turnover on downs, but it leads to a New Mexico State punt. With 8:33 left in the second quarter, New Mexico State gets a 49-yard touchdown pass to Jordan Parker. With 4:50 left in the second quarter, Pavea throws an interception, which leads to a 6-yard Shamari Lawrence touchdown run. But that touchdown run and that drive itself was set up by a unsportsmanlike conduct flag after a 3rd-down sack, which would have led to a punt. Now, the interception by Pavea. The guy was open. He threw it a little outside. If you'd have put it on him, it would have been a catch, but he didn't. He threw it outside, gave the defender a chance to rip the ball away from the tight end. So your score at halftime is 14-14. New Mexico State starts the second half with a long 8-minute drive, which leads to a 23-yard field goal. Then FIU converts a 4th-and-3, which leads to a 41-yard field goal on the first drive in the second half. Diego Pavea scores a 43-yard touchdown run to start the fourth. They were going on a nice lengthy drive. They were going on a drive. They were hitting big plays. But to start the fourth, Pavea just runs through a hole and is wide open for a touchdown. Star Thomas then scores a 3-yard touchdown run right after on the next drive. It was set up by a long Watkins run. Keon Jenkins throws a red zone interception, which leads to a 3-and-out. Now, it was like a tip that the linebacker didn't tip it at the line of scrimmage. He was like 3, 4, 5 yards away from the line of scrimmage. He jumps up, tips the ball, and 3 New Mexico State defenders around, turns into an interception for New Mexico State. Keon Jenkins throws another interception, this time at midfield. This one was just a great defensive play by the D-back. He jumped the comeback route, which is a great play by him, which leads to another 3-and-out. FIU turnover on downs deep inside of FIU territory. Keon Jenkins actually tried to run for it. He fumbles, but he recovers. But it's 4th and 12. He's nowhere near the first. Turnover on downs. Now, I'm a degenerate. I told y'all this. I was on Jack State +3 and Jack State money line, and I was also on the under in FIU New Mexico State under 49. And I was looking good. It's like a minute, 2 minutes left in the game, 48 total points. I'm thinking 4th and 12, you're down 2 touchdowns. You're not going to win this game. Just punt the ball. If you want, try to get the ball back, but you don't get it here, you're definitely not winning this game. So just punt it. No, the coach decides to go for it. They don't get it. Then I'm like, all right, cool. Now the game is definitely over. Just let the clock run out. And on first down, they want to play. They let the clock run out. Don't call a timeout. Second down, calls timeout. Third down, I'm like, what is he doing? This game is over. Third down, calls timeout. I'm like, all right, yep, here comes the back door. Fourth down, I'm like, all right, New Mexico State, just go for it. Make them travel the length of the field if you don't get it. I mean, yeah, you go up 17 instead of 14, but it's only a minute and some change left. Your defense has only held them to 3 points the second half. They're not going to go 90 yards in a minute in like 12 seconds. Just go for it. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, they got to go 80, 90 yards. Well, really like 90 yards for a touchdown, 90, 95. They kick a 24-yard meaningless field goal. It's good. Now it's 51 total points. The over hits. The under 49 is no longer in play. I lose. But, yep, they hit a 24-yard field goal. And that was pretty much it for the rest of the game. New Mexico State held FIU to 3 points in the second half, like I said. Two interceptions, both came in the second half. Keon Jenkins, actually touched that too, my bad. New Mexico State had two big runs in the fourth quarter, which blew the game open. Yep, so Pavette with the 43-yarder and Watkins with his, I think it was like 30, 40 yards in that range. But that blew the game open. New Mexico State won. Honestly, FIU got the one other touchdown, like I said, due to a New Mexico State unnecessary roughness, I mean, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. So New Mexico State dominated the game. It don't look like it in blowout fashion. They still won by 3 touchdowns or 3 possessions, but still, I think the score's a little deceiving. They really dominated this game. So appreciate that, Joe. I'm feeling much better. I really do appreciate that. So we move on to the Saturday previews. In the first game I got up for Saturday noon at the Cotton Bowl, we have the Red River Rivalry, the game everybody's probably anticipating. Well, not even probably, the game everybody's anticipating Saturday at noon. I'm gonna be on work, unfortunately. It sucks. I'm gonna try to watch as much as I can on my phone in between time, but Oklahoma. 12th ranked Oklahoma at 3rd ranked Texas at the Cotton Bowl for Saturday noon on ABC. For Oklahoma, Dylan Gabriel has to get going. Now, Oklahoma has been struggling to score points against decent defenses, put up 20 against Cincy, put up 28 against SMU. They have to get going. They got to put up points against this Texas defense. Have to get to Quinn Ewers. They have to get to Quinn Ewers. Cannot let Quinn Ewers get settled, get in rhythm. Can't let him pick your team apart. Have to make it a low-scoring game. Like I said, 20 against Cincy, 28 against SMU. If they can't get going, they have to stop Texas. If push comes to shove, still lean on the run. Again, I've always said that's what has helped Oklahoma in games where they struggle. The run has helped them. I understand Dylan Gabriel has been dynamic. He's been phenomenal. But the run game has absolutely helped Oklahoma when push came to shove. Andrell Anthony, Nick Anderson, and Jaleel Farouk will be huge in this game because they have to put up numbers in this game so Oklahoma can put up points. Now for Texas, run defense has to continue to be stout because, again, like I said, Oklahoma, when push comes to shove, they lean on the run. They take that away, make Dylan Gabriel one-dimensional. I don't know. I'm rolling with Texas. Texas, if they can score, Oklahoma has done well against – I mean, hasn't done well against decent defenses. I already explained that. Xavier Worthy has to show up, no drops. Xavier Worthy has been dropping the ball. I mean, it's probably not as to the extent as you might think, but he has had some drops. I would like to see none this week. I would like to see you catch every pass that is catchable this week or this weekend. Can Jonathan Brooks go crazy again? Had over 200 yards, was on my major performances. Can he do it again? Another big game for Quinn Ewers. Had a good game against Texas. Was having a good game against Texas last year. Quinn Ewers, this is a rivalry game, the Red River rivalry. This is huge. Texas versus Oklahoma. This is years of hatred, years of just, you know what I'm saying? It's just years of rivalry. This is a huge game. To be honest, this might be even bigger than to Alabama because of the rivalry and the history. So another big game for Quinn Ewers. But with that being said, I'm a roll with Texas. Think Texas is easily the better team. Texas is the more the consistent team. Texas has been Texas has been tested with wins over Kansas and wins over Alabama. I think this Texas team is going to be locked and loaded and ready to go. So give me Texas. Moving on, we have another game. And this game is big for Mr. Yadunson himself. We have Maryland at fourth ranked Ohio State. No, I did not forget a ranking. Maryland is still unranked. Saturday noon on Fox for Maryland. Maryland has to remain physical on defense. Man, like I said in episodes prior, like Maryland's defense is super physical. From the DBs to the linebackers to the D linemen, they're just physical. They get off blocks. They make tackles. They're not afraid to tackle. They're just a physical defense. Have to contain the run, and they got their hands full with Chip and Travion Henderson. Get to Kyle McCord. Now, Kyle McCord, I don't know how to feel about Kyle McCord yet. He had a great drive to end the game, to win the game against Notre Dame. Now, some of that was, I say a lot of that at the end of the game was Notre Dame just folded, calling cover twos on 3rd and 19, having 10 guys on defense with the last two plays. Even after, I believe, a complete pass, not a timeout, maybe a timeout. I think Notre Dame did call a timeout after that incomplete pass. So that's just his poor coaching by Notre Dame. But he still was able to lead them down the field. So I think if they get to Kyle McCord, though, make him beat them, make him have to get the ball out quick or make him find good reads quick, I think that'll help him. Talia, no mistakes. Can't afford to give Ohio State extra possessions. Cannot have no fumbles, no picks, nothing, nothing. And establish Roman Hemby. Establish the run, kill some clock. Excuse me. Maybe make Ohio State move faster than they want to. Again, I don't think McCord is of the CJ Strouds, of the Justin Fields, of any of these guys they've had in the past. So if it was those guys, I probably wouldn't have had that there because CJ Stroud can move the ball down quickly. Justin Fields can move the ball down quickly in college. So I don't think McCord is there yet. Now for Ohio State, establish Chip and Trey. Again, just establish the run. Wear down this physical defense. That's one way you wear down the defense. You keep attacking with the run, 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 run. You tire them out. And fourth quarter, that's when the big rushing lanes open up. Keep it simple with Kyle. I think, man, you just get him some quick, easy throws to get him in rhythm. Then you maybe later try to get Marvin Harrison to take off the top. Maybe get him Mecca Ogbuka in immediate throws. Be prepared to stop a lot of screens. So Maryland runs a lot of screens, a lot of, you know, things to get these receivers in open space. Open field tackling will be key, part of the screens and getting receivers in open space. Get after Talia, keep Maryland behind the chains. So with that being said, with these screens and stuff, it's kind of to keep you ahead of the chains. You get open field tackling, you get open field opportunities to make people miss and get big chunks or at least stay ahead of the chains. Now, with that, you can't really run screens on 3rd and 11s, 2nd and 12s. You can kind of run them, but they're not really keys to success. So you get them in 3rd and 11s, they're going to have to go downfield. So keep them behind the chains. But I think Ohio State remains undefeated. Maryland really hasn't been tested. Yeah, they're 5-0, but like I said, they have wins against Towson, Charlotte, Virginia, Michigan State, and Indiana. Those aren't five teams I would write home about. Honestly, they just did what they were supposed to do, including my Spartans. Like, we're falling down the hill. We're having a rough patch here with this coaching situation. So give me Ohio State. Moving on, we have battle some Tigers. LSU, 23rd ranked LSU at 21st ranked Mizzou. Kind of play spoiler alert there. Saturday, noon on ESPN. LSU shake off last week's loss. Hey, that was one of them games where I can't even see the last team touch the ball wins because LSU had it last. They still didn't win. But that's just one of them shootouts. And unfortunately for LSU, they lost the shootout. Jaden Daniels has been playing phenomenally. You see the numbers, 400 yards, 300 yards, four touchdowns, rushing touchdown. Jaden Daniels has been playing beyond my expectations. I was almost ready to sell all my stock on Jaden Daniels. And he told me, don't worry about it, Carl. I'll make you believe. So he's been playing great. Defense has to step up. They gave up 55 last week against Ole Miss. That's unacceptable. They gave up 34 against Arkansas. That's unacceptable. Defense has to play better. They gave up, 45, I think, against Florida State. Unacceptable. The defense has to step up. Can you force Brady Cook's first interception? Brady Cook so far has no picks. Can you force him to get a pick? That would be huge and confidence boost for this LSU's defense. Have to stop Luther Burden. He has been on fire. He has like 600 yards, I believe. He probably has the most receiving yards in the SEC right now. Maybe even had the most receiving yards in the country right now. I'm going to double check that right quick. But Luther Burden has been nothing short of amazing. He was huge in the win against Kansas State. He's huge for why Mizzou is currently undefeated. So, man, you have to find that guy and have the key into him at all times. Give me 1 second as I look this up. But, yeah, he's been nothing short of amazing for Mizzou. Yes, he has the most receiving yards in the country with 644 yards, 19 yards ahead of Malik Nabers, who has 625. He also has 5 touchdowns, which is also, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, tied for 6th best in the country. Now, first in touchdowns is actually Brian Thomas, who's also a dog. And my boy Will Shepard, I know I ain't talking about Vandy, but my boy Will Shepard is actually tied for 2nd. So shout out to Will Shepard. But yeah, Luther Burden has been nothing short of amazing. Now, for Mizzou, can Brady Cook continue to be mistake-free? Mistake-free. Look, Brady Cook, no interceptions. That is phenomenal. I think through 5 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, 4 or 5 games. Can he keep that up? Get Cody Schrader going, the running back for Mizzou. You know, a great run game always opens up the pass. Schrader has like 400 or 500 yards this year already. Feed Luther Burden. Don't have to explain much. Just went over his stats. Has to try to stop Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. Hey, like I said, right behind Luther Burden is Malik Nabers at 2nd. And Brian Thomas leads the country in receiving touchdown passes. So Mizzou got their hands full with those two guys. 13 sacks on the year. Can they get to Jaden Daniels? And if they can't get him on the ground, at least contain him. Don't let him run. Now, we all remember that big hit we saw on Jaden Daniels last week against Ole Miss. He's able to get out of the pocket. Broke one too many tackles. As soon as he broke the last one, ran into a freight train, dropped the ball. Now, I don't think that's consistently going to happen when he fumbles because of hits like that. He does take big hits, but he doesn't consistently fumble. That one looked like more so of a blindside hit, but just contain him. Don't let him get up. Go on for them 20-yard runs, 30-yard runs, maybe even 40. We seen him hit it for 50, so just got to contain him. With that being said, I think I'm going to take LSU on a roll here. Now, this one was a hard choice, hard decision, because Mizzou has been balling. I just don't know if Mizzou could keep it up. I don't. I get they beat K-State. I do get that at home. They are at home for this game. But I think LSU is the more tested team. I think 2 losses, one being the SEC loss, will wake them up. I'm going to have to go LSU here. I think they rallied behind that loss to Ole Miss. They realized if we even want a shot at making the playoffs, let alone the SEC championship game, we got to be perfect going from here on out. And I think this is the game that lets us know that they're going to try to win it all to make a push for that SEC title game. So from that game, we have our last game. I forgot to write down the dang time, but we have our last known game. We have Rutgers at Wisconsin. And you might be like, Carl, why Rutgers at Wisconsin? That was probably the best game out of the rest of the noon clocks we had. So I gotta give you the best of the best. So Rutgers at Wisconsin, noon on Peacock. Saturday, noon on Peacock. For Rutgers, have to win a defensive struggle. I think this game is going to be a defensive battle. I really do. Now, if it isn't a defensive battle, I think Wisconsin is going to be the team that opens the game up. So, Cal Manungau has to get going against Michigan. Cal Manungau only had 27 yards. Rutgers had one big play, which was a touchdown pass, 69 yards. Nothing else after that. Gavin Wimsett can't turn the ball over and has to make plays. Gavin Wimsett, he got to show me he can beat a defense. He can win a game. With Cal Manungau not going, he has to show me that he can still win it. I have not seen it yet. Have to stop Braylon Allen and Chez Mulesi. Both of those backs, both running backs have 300 plus yards apiece. So like 600 something yards in total, maybe even 700. These running backs have been balling this year for Wisconsin. Can you win the turnover battle? Tanner Mordecai is currently 2 passes, touchdowns to 3 picks. Gavin Wimsett, I know I just got on him. He's 5 touchdowns to 1 pick. But like I said, the one game that was a big game that they played, he had 1 touchdown and 1 pick. So. But can they win a turnover battle? Not for Wisconsin. Rely on that run game. Just explain to you that these running backs have been balling. They are coming off a bye week. So they've had 2 weeks. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. They've had the bye week, which they probably really didn't. The coaches probably got into a game plan. The players probably chilled for most of that week. But Mordecai, can we build on the Purdue game, which was the last game we saw? He had 2 rushing touchdowns. I believe 1 passing touchdown. No. Braylon Allen scored a touchdown. But I know he had 2 rushing touchdowns. So can we build on that? Make Gavin Wimsett beat you. Again, haven't seen it yet against a good team. And contain Cal Manungau. Again, this is their best player on offense. Contain him, and that's the key to beating Rutgers. And with that being said, I'm going to take Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is the better team. I think Rutgers is 4-1 based on opponents. Played Virginia Tech, played Northwestern, played, I believe, Wagner. So I think they're 4-1 because of the teams they have played. Wisconsin, I think, is just the better team here. We move on to a Pac-12 matchup. And I've been so high on this guy all year. Cam Ward, 13th ranked Washington State at UCLA. Saturday, 3:30 on Pac-12 Network. Now, Cam Ward has been balling this year. Don't recall him having an interception. I believe against Oregon State, he only had like 6 incompletions. So, Cam Ward has just been balling. I know, again, I'm going to keep saying it. Trent said, and Cam Ward, I don't trust. And I told him, and Cam Ward, I trust. And in terms of passing yards, Cam Ward is... Ooh, dang, Penix is almost at 2,000 already. He's been 5 games. But Cam Ward is 22nd, played 4 games, and has 1,389 passing yards. So he has one... So out of the 10 players that has... 5 or more games, who played less than 5 games, Cam Ward is actually first. Everybody in front of him has played 5 games. Like I said, he's only played 4. He's actually, from what I see, one of 2 quarterbacks that played 4 games that's on his list. Everybody else that's top 50 has played 5 or 6 games. Yeah, everybody else has played 5 or 6 games. The only other quarterback who's played 4 games on his list, it's Colorado State, Braden Fowler Nicosi with 1358. So Cam Ward has been balling. He also has 0 interceptions, 13 passing touchdowns. So just been balling. Cam Ward has been crazy. Now, if I could find his percentage, it would probably be ridiculous as well. Let me see if I can find that real quick. But not passing yards for completion. Passing efficiency, that should be under that one. No, that's not percentage, but we'll just go with that. He's top 10 in passing efficiency, 187.64, so do with that as you may. Top 10. I can't find the actual – here we go. Completion percentage right here. As soon as I say that, he is top 10 again, tied 9th with Brady Cook and Caleb Williams, throwing 75% completion percentage. Cam Ward has been balling. So, can Cam Ward keep it up? Now, they have to get to Dante Moore. So, UCLA is coming off a bye week. The last time they played was against Utah, and Dante Moore got sacked 7 times against Utah. Washington State coming off a bye week. So, again, they have 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Will Lincoln Victor be back? From what I saw, it's looking unlikely. But, again, it's college football. You don't know nothing until right before kickoff. But from everything I see, it don't look like he'll be back this game. But you still got Kyle Williams to, you know, offset that. Stop Carson Steele in the run. Dante Moore is still a freshman. Against Utah, they were able to contain the run. Well, Utah was able to contain the run, and Dante Moore in this UCLA offense was only able to score 1 touchdown. They were not, man, able to do much. So stop the run and make Dante Moore beat you. He's still young. He's going to be a talented quarterback. He's just young right now. Now for UCLA. Also coming off a bye week. So they also had the 2 weeks to prepare. Also had 2 weeks to, you know, draw up things to help Dante Moore out. O-line has to do better in protection. Can't lose the turnover battle. So when they played Utah, they fumbled. They had so many turnover on downs. And he started the game with a pick six. Like, Utah themselves only scored 1 touchdown against UCLA on the offensive side. But like I said, Utah started off with a pick six. Won the game 14-7. That pick six was the moment. That was it. That was the game. Have to get some offense going. Like I said, they only scored 1 touchdown. Can you force Cam Ward to have a bad game? Can you force him to at least make a mistake? 13 touchdowns, no picks. That's not even including the rushing touchdowns he's had. So can you force him to make a mistake? With that being said, I'm going to go with Washington State. They're actually underdogs in this game. 3.5-point underdogs, probably because they're on the road. I'm still taking Washington State to win this outright. If you want to take them +3.5, not mad at that if you gamble. But I'm going to take them head up. Then we have Alabama at Texas A&M. Saturday, 3:30 on CBS. Alabama, can Jalen Monroe continue to keep getting better? Like I said, he's getting better week after week after week. Pressure Max Johnson, force him to make a mistake. He threw a pick six on a screen against Arkansas State. Arkansas State unfortunately lost the game because they threw a pick six of their own and gave up a punt return touchdown. So can they force the pick six there, or at least a pick? Don't allow the run game to be going with Le'Veon Moss and Amari Daniels. Have the key in on Evan Stewart. Every time I say it, Evan Stewart is going to help out Max Johnson. That's going to be a key for Texas A&M. You already know that. He scores. He scores a touchdown. I think he even gets the first touchdown or like something like that. So, and which receiver will step up? Will it be Jermaine Burton, Isaiah Bond, or the tight end Amari Neblack? Somebody's going to have to step up for Jalen Monroe. Now for Texas A&M, get Max Johnson some easy completions to get in rhythm. Let him get in the rhythm early. He's not a freshman. He was at LSU. But let him get in the rhythm. Le'Veon Moss and Amari Daniels will be key. He's going to help take a lot. They're both going to take a lot of the pressure off of Max Johnson. Pressure Jalen Monroe forced him to make a mistake. So with Ole Miss in the first half, they were getting to Jalen Monroe. It was a low-scoring game. Ole Miss was actually up. Like I said, Jackson Dart threw the momentum-changing interception. To me, that swung the whole game. But they were able to get to him, and it was close. Get home crowd involved early. You're at home. You got to get the home crowd involved, get you juiced, get you amped, get, you know, maybe ruin some signals for Alabama, a couple miscommunications, things like that. And then Evan Stewart, I have in 3 exclamation marks because he's going to be key. Like I said, he's key. But with that being said, I'm taking Alabama. I'm taking Nick Saban. They are like mostly like LSU. They have 1 SEC loss. Excuse me. I don't think they have an SEC loss. Actually, I take that back. I don't think they do have an SEC loss. They do have the loss to Texas, however. But I don't think they have the SEC loss. But again, they still have the 1 loss. They still are thinking natty. They still want to at least be in the run or in contention. Georgia might win out. I don't know. I'm talking about Georgia later. But Bama has to go perfect to have a chance at the SEC championship game. Is probably going to come down to the Alabama LSU game, like last year. So have to win. Yeah, they don't have the SEC loss. They just have the loss to Texas. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Bama. Then we have Syracuse at North Carolina, Saturday, 3:30 on ESPN. Syracuse, Garrett Schrader has to take advantage of this inconsistent defense. North Carolina defense is for surely inconsistent. No turnovers or win the turnover battle. So Drake May has been my guy since last year, but this year he's been a little pick happy. Can you, if you have a turnover, at least win the turnover battle? Get LaQuint Allen going. Have to establish the run. Like I said, this defense is so inconsistent. I feel like you can run on this defense. Get LaQuint Allen going. Get some pressure off of Garrett Schrader. Garrett Schrader can actually use his legs. Probably if you get LaQuint going, run some read options and stuff like that. Turn Drake May over. Like I said, he's been pick happy. Marlo Wax will be huge. He's the leader, in my opinion, of this defense. To me, the best defender on this play. I know we have the DN. Can't pronounce his name that I had going in for the, is it Ted Hendricks? I believe it was the Ted Hendricks Award, but I know he's there too. He's arguably up there for the best player for Syracuse as well. But Marlo Wax, in my opinion, is going to be huge. The DN is going to be huge as well. Let me try to figure his name out. I know it's I think it's like Wachu or something like that. Give me 1 second. Because you got to get pressure on Drake May to force him to throw you a pick. And that's that's what this guy does. Oh, my God. That's what this guy does. Like I said, he's already – I had him preseason Ted Hendricks, I believe, award finalist. Here you go right here. Caleb Okechukwu. So, yeah, that's the guy I'm talking about. He has 2 sacks on the season. Yeah, he has 2 sacks on the season. He has 12 total tackles. He's going to be key, too. Now, for North Carolina, Drake May has to cut the turnovers. Pretty self-explanatory. Omarion Hampton and British Brooks will be huge. Establish the run. Always helps the quarterback. Get Syracuse behind the chains, which helps you get Garrett Schrader to have to throw the ball. Garrett Schrader, not a bad throw of the football. But if I'm Syracuse, I would rather Garrett Schrader stay in front of the chains, run the ball, have Garrett Schrader be a threat to run the ball than having him putting the ball in there a bunch of times. North Carolina is coming off a bye week, so they have a chance to prepare for all this. They've had extra week of preparation. And contain Garrett Schrader. Don't let him use his legs. So with that being said, I'm going to pick North Carolina because they have the better offense. I think Syracuse has the better defense in this game, but I don't know if Syracuse consistently can generate offense to score with this North Carolina team. Now, I will say this. Since North Carolina defense is such a Mr. Jackal, Dr. Hyde and Mr. Jackal, this defense cannot be good this week, and Syracuse could also take advantage. But I'm going to go with the more consistent offense. I'm going to go with North Carolina. And my last afternoon game I have for y'all is UCF at Kansas. Both unranked. Kansas got knocked out the rankings due to the loss against Texas. Saturday, 4 o'clock on Fox. UCF, is John Rhys Plumlee back? Don't have to keep explaining that you don't find out news until right before kickoff. Establish the run with RJ Harvey and Johnny Richardson. Smash and dash. Somebody put the golf emoji on this kid. Now I'm playing. What's good, Ty? You won't catch me saying that, but what's good? I'm happy to contain Jalen Daniels if he's back. Like Jalen Daniels last week, last minute out due to a back injury. So if it's Jalen Daniels, can you contain him? Even if it's Jason Beam, can you contain him? But I'm thinking that Jalen Daniels is back. Don't let Devin Neal get going. Besides Jalen Daniels, he's the best player on this team that's not a quarterback. I mean, best player on this offense that's not a quarterback. And Kansas, take the positives from the Texas loss. So, positive could be you didn't have your starting quarterback. He wasn't there. The defense, while they didn't make a ton of plays, they made a couple plays. Now, granted, Texas did miss some field goals, and the score could have been worse than 40-14, but Kansas could have also scored more points if the Jalen Daniels was there. So, the game plan could have been a lot different. More passes could have probably been completed. So, yeah, you got blown out against Texas, but your guy was in there. So just take that for what it was. For UCF. Oh, hold up. All right, so this is just petty Ty right here. Ty with the 199 super chat. Appreciate you, Ty. But I know this is coming from a place of pettiness. He wants me to say it. So he donated the $1.99 to make me say, let's go Penn State. Hashtag gets them arms ready. Which, yeah, I made a bet that looks crazy now. But I'm not backing out. I gotta stick with it. We're probably going to get whooped. But it is what it is. Appreciate the $1.99 super chat. You didn't have the duel, but you did. And I'm appreciative of it. But I know you was being petty with that. So you got me. You got it. For Kansas, take the positives. Oh, I said that. Have to stop the run because if John Rhys Plumlee is there, I mean, not John Rhys Plumlee, Timmy McClain is there, probably going to rely on the run a little bit more. Timmy McClain has been playing well, but he's also the backup. So they probably want to run the ball as much as possible. Keep UCF behind the chains. Goes into that. Establish Devin Neal. Like I said, he's the second best player on his team. Best player that's not a quarterback. And can the secondary continue to make plays? Two picks and a forced fumble against BYU. They've been playing pretty well. Texas game, like I said, man, they didn't have a quarterback, so they want to field a lot. Can they make plays against this UCF team? Oh, and for UCF, one point I did forget. They have to forget that Baylor blunder. They blew the game against Baylor last week. They got to forget that. Got to flush it. Move on. But with that being said, if Jalen Daniels is back, I'm taking Kansas. Now, if Jalen Daniels is not back, I'm going to take UCF. But if Jalen Daniels is back, I'm taking Kansas. And we get into our night game. And the first night game, it's a banger in Athens. 20th ranked Kentucky at number one ranked Georgia. Saturday, 7 o'clock on ESPN. For Kentucky, Devin Leary has to play way better than what he's been playing on this field. Devin Leary has to come. He has to bring his A game this game. Ray Davis has been phenomenal. Like I said, 280 last week. Four total tuds was for sure my major performances list last week. Has to be able to do the same. But I'm pretty sure Georgia's going to key in on that. Georgia knows that Ray Davis has been this team. Have to stop Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, man. I said all I could say about Brock Bowers last week, man. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal player. Have to have a better run game. They got to be able to move the ball down the field better than Georgia with the run. And can't turn the ball over, because if you turn the ball over, those are momentum swinging plays, and you're on the road against the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs. You turn that ball over, it's going to make the crowd explode, and it's going to be hard to fight Georgia and their home crowd. Now, for Georgia, make Devin Leary beat you. I don't know if Devin Leary really won Kentucky a game yet. Keep Kentucky behind the chains. That goes right into making Devin Leary beat you. When in doubt, you have Brock Bowers. So if nothing else, you know you got the best player in this game, Brock Bowers. He's the best player in this game. I will argue he's the best player in this game offensively and defensively. Dominate the trenches, because if you dominate the trenches, that leads to Ray Davis not really doing too much. Again, making Devin Leary beat you. And momentum plays to get the crowd involved. I think Devin Leary is going to throw you two picks. I think he's going to throw you two picks. And that's going to swing the crowd. With that being said, though, I'm going to go Georgia to win this game. Devin Leary is going to have to show me he can win a game for this Kentucky Wildcats team. I think it will be close, though, because I think Kentucky is really good this year. I don't think Georgia is as dominant as the past 2 years. I think Georgia is still better than 98% of college football. But in terms of pure dominance, I'm not seeing what I've saw in the last 2 years. I've said it, I think, earlier in the year. I done told people this. I get Georgia football is really good. I just don't think they're that dominant as they were the past 2 years. So give me Kentucky. I mean, give me Georgia. Excuse me. A low-key tie, I'm kind of with you, but I just don't see it. I'm kind of with you, though. It would definitely, for the landscape of college football, it would shake up college football if Kentucky wins. So next, we have another battle of the top 25s. We have 10th ranked Notre Dame at 25th ranked Louisville, Saturday, 7:30 on ABC. Notre Dame, firstly, just join the ACC, bro. Like, come on, you have six ACC games. You just play Duke. You're about to play Louisville. Just join the ACC, bro. Stop being stubborn. So for Duke, for Notre Dame, limit explosive plays. Limit the. That's what NC State did last week, and they should have won the game. Limit the Jawar Jordan runs. Limit the Jamari Thrash big play. Limit Kevin Coleman's big plays. Limit Chris Bell. Chris Bell actually had a couple explosive plays for Louisville against NC State. Not going to lie. But limit that as well. Aldrick Estime should run wild. Again, I think the weak point of this Louisville defense is the rushing defense. Aldrick Estime is a strong suit in this game. So Aldrick Estime should go crazy. Ride the momentum from the Duke win. Sam Hartman was able to pull it out last minute against Duke. Him and Aldrick Estime ran for 47 combined yards on 4-for-16 and 1st and 10 to win the game. Have to ride that momentum. Benjamin Morrison, in my opinion, will strap Jamari Thrash. Benjamin Morrison might be the best corner in the country, hands down. And he can't even come out the draft this year. He has to wait till next year. Louisville, this will be the best defense you played. I know I said this last week. This defense Notre Dame has is 100 times better than NC State defense. Jack Plummer, no turnovers. I can't guarantee you that. They will need no turnovers to have a chance in this game, but Jack Plummer, he's just prone to turn the ball over. He's going to throw a pick. Stay ahead of the chains. It's going to be hard, but they got to do it. Have to win the turnover battle. And have to have those explosive plays that Notre Dame is looking to stop, the Jawar Jordan runs. Jawar Jordan did have an explosive play, but it wasn't a run. It was a screen pass for 26 yards. Hey, they got to have it. Ty, don't recommend betting the Thrash over or the Jordan over. I'm going to go Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame blows out Louisville. Louisville narrowly escaped against NC State. I get that's not how football works, though, but I just think this defense is way better than NC State's. They're not going to get those explosive plays. Jack Plummer is going to turn the ball over. Sam Hartman is going to be smart with the football. Aldrick Estime is going to run wild. I think Notre Dame easily wins this game. I think the spread is like -6.5. I'm taking that with Notre Dame easily. If I lose that, I just lose, but that's probably one of the most confident bets I have this week. And we have two more games left. Ooh, grabbing the wrong notebook. So just please rock with your boy for these last two previews. The first one we have is Arkansas at 16th ranked Ole Miss, Saturday 7:30 on SEC Network. Arkansas can't give up special teams touchdowns. They gave up the punt return touchdown to Anaya Smith last week. Can't do that against this Ole Miss team, especially at home. Can't do that. KJ Jefferson has to play mistake-free because, man, this offensive Ole Miss, they got a touchdown trade back last week. Judkins ran wild. Jackson Dart ran wild. Was throwing the ball wild. Like, this Ole Miss offense is going to put up points. You can't turn the ball over. Have to realize they lost because of a pick six and a punt six. Pick six, man, it was off a blitz. The blitzer tipped the ball, catches it, and goes to the crib. Not a punt six. Special teams can't have it. Have to contain Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart, boy, I told you, I love Jackson Dart. He's a baller. He was there with Keaton Slovis at SC, and I thought easily Jackson Dart should have been a starter. Once I seen him play, I'm like, how did Keaton Slovis win his job? Jackson Dart, to me, is a baller. Hands full with Dayton Wade, touchdown Trey, and Jordan Watkins, all that receiver. And that's just the receivers. That's not even including Quinshon Judkins in the backfield. So they're going to have their hands full there. Ole Miss, get touchdown Trey in the end zone. Got in the end zone last week. Was my major performer, I think, last week. Get him in there again. Judkins is always going to be critical, no matter what. If I do an Ole Miss preview, Quinshon Judkins' name will be mentioned. Let Jackson Dart be dynamic. Let him run. Let him throw. Let him be him, because he has been balling. He has shown you why he won the job over Spencer Saunders and Walker Howard, I believe. Contain KJ Jefferson. Contain him. Don't let him use his legs. Don't let him get outside the pocket to buy more time. And contain Rocky Sanders. Rocky Sanders is their best weapon beside KJ. It's their best weapon. Contain him. Make KJ have to beat you with his arm, which KJ has the capability of doing that, but you don't want Rocky Sanders to run wild as either. Well, and with that being said, I'm going to take Ole Miss at home. I think Ole Miss is going to ride high from that LSU win. Lane Kiffin is going to have these boys to be able to put up points. Like I said, Arkansas gave up 37 against LSU, gave up 38 to BYU. Arkansas is prone to give up a lot of points, and Ole Miss is prone to put up a lot of points. Give me Ole Miss. Now, for the last game, I have a mid-major Mountain West Conference preview for you guys. Last week, it was the Sun Belt This week is the Mountain West. I got Fresno State, 24th ranked Fresno State at Wyoming. And they say it's always windy in Laramie. The game's in Laramie, Wyoming, Saturday, 8 o'clock, ESPN on Fox. Full Fresno State. Let Mikey King be great. He's been balling this year. I've been high on Mikey King since UCF. Well, not high since UCF, but I liked what I saw at UCF. Then I was high on him when I saw in the Purdue game. Contain Harrison Whaley, the running back for Wyoming. Wyoming is a running team that's been a running team for a little while now. Contain the run. Make Peasley beat you through the air. Peasley likes to use his legs as well. I think the most yards he threw for in a game is like 230. So make Peasley beat you through the air. Get Elijah Brooks the ball. Get Elijah Brooks the football. Fresno State's best wide receiver. And don't allow Peasley to use his legs. Like I said, that's what he wants to do. I think so too, Ty. I think so too. Now, for Wyoming, establish the run. That's what you like to do. Establish the run. Play your game. Don't feed into Fresno State. Protect Peasley. Fresno State has 14 sacks on the year. So you have to protect your boy. Force Mikey King to make a mistake. It's going to be hard, but you have to make him make a pick, a fumble, something. Get to Mikey King. Y'all have 11 sacks on the year. Can you up those numbers? And in my opinion, for Wyoming to win, they got to make this game as ugly as possible. Make it a low-scoring game. Don't let Fresno State get out. I think if Fresno State touches 24-28, it's over. Wyoming, I don't think Wyoming's putting up 24-28. I don't think Wyoming might at max put up 21 against Fresno State because quiet as kept, Fresno State defense has been balling. I know it was against Nevada. I know it was against Arizona State. But against Arizona State, I know Jalen Rashada was out due to a hamstring, but they were catching picks after picks. And you can say Carl was a second string. Well, they forced them to have to play the third string. Well, Carl was the third string. Well, they forced them to have to go to the fourth string because that's how good the defense was. They was just making the every quarterback look bad. Now, they were susceptible to points being scored against Purdue, but I think Purdue offense isn't as bad as people think. I'm a roll with Fresno State, though. Fresno State on the road, they have a really good defense, really good offense. I think they're going to not allow Wyoming to get the run going as much as they would like, which forces Peasley to try to beat them, which they were probably going to force Peasley to throw more than this Wyoming team would like him to throw. Keene is going to be able to throw even if it's windy, but they play great defense there. So I'm going to go with the better. I think Fresno State is the better overall team. So I'm going to go with Fresno State. And with that being said, that is the end of our week 6 weekend preview. If you like what you like the content in this video, please leave a like, comment, subscribe. If you disagree with anything after the live is over, or you can even leave a comment real quick. You can talk about what you disagree with. I'll talk it over with you. We can have a little chat. Also, we do have memberships, which you can pay for $2.99 for Pro, $4.99 for All-Star, $9.99 for Superstar. You can join the college football chat and talk to me there. I'll be there. I'll be in the Refuse to Lose chat. I'm basically almost every chat. You can get at me on those chats by paying the memberships. $2.99 gets you in one chat of your choice. $4.99, the All-Star gets you in whatever chat of your choice. No, all the chats. And then $9.99 gets you in all the – well, $4.99 gets you in all the chats except for the Refuse to Lose chat. Excuse me. The $9.99 gets you in all the chats. Appreciate it, Ty. But, yeah, so you can join the memberships. Hit me up in them memberships and we can have a dialogue if you like. I still remember we had the guy Sunday come in talking about Cam Ward is the best QB in the country. Hey man, join the membership and tell us why. We have a dialogue about that. I don't know if you watched today, but hey, we would love to have you and talk to you about it. But with that being said, that is going to be the end of CTC. I will see y'all Sunday to recap these games and I'm gone. Peace.
Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter what you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all at the next episode.